continue to teach you, and we've been talking about gifts, and I'm going to delve into that a little more today. But how we got on this topic is this. I believe, and many prophetic words came forth, that when Billy Graham died, we would begin to see the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. Let's back up. Previous to that, we were also told, Bob Jones was told, that he would live to see the beginning of a billion souls coming into the kingdom. Well, he died. So now we got Bob Jones, who was told he would live to see the beginning of a billion soul harvest. We have Billy Graham gone. So I didn't really need that to figure out, though, that we're entering the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. And the thing about harvest, when we started this teaching, I want you to understand why we're going where we're going today. But there's no problem with harvest. The problem is the laborers. And so we're getting ready to see a huge shift in the church, because people who have been going to churches, just get over it, I'm just telling you the truth. People who have been going to churches where they've been getting fed every week and their focus is on getting fed are going to, there's a mass exodus getting ready to come out of those kinds of churches. Because laborers have to be prepared, and for them to be prepared, there's going to come a shift out of feed me model to train me model. There's going to be hundreds of people that need to be trained to go out into the harvest field. And they're going to figure out, while they're sitting on their blessed assurance, they're going to figure out, I don't know what to do. I want to participate in the harvest. So there's going to be a mass exodus and a migration to people who can come and be trained for their gifts. Now, why am I teaching what I'm teaching? Well, some would say, well, that's not good Sunday morning stuff. Well, I'm more concerned about training you and you learning than blessing you. You can get your blessing in the worship. But see, if you'll become mature and get trained, you will be blessed. You won't actually, if you learn how to be mature, you won't have to run on Sunday morning for a blessing. You'll walk in blessing. See, that's the difference. If you quit sucking your thumb and you become a mature person in the body, you walk in blessing all the time. And you're not living in hell 6 days so you can come to church one day to get a goosebump to survive another week. See, we want to raise you up. We want to raise up leaders and harvesters. The first harvest is going to be harvesting the harvesters. You need to understand that. And in order to harvest the harvesters, the focus of the local church is going to get back to what it was all along anyway. It was always supposed to be about training people. Well, I believe that as things begin to unfold, we've been singing this, saying this for years, but make no mistake about it, the Lord's raising up an army. And I taught a message on this, and it's hard for me not to teach it now, but the Lord is not raising up church members. He's raising up an army. An army has a different mindset. And that's one thing that I think sometimes people don't understand when they come in here.
You look a drill sergeant.
Yeah, because that's what I'm called to be, because an army is being raised up. I want an army. I don't want a church. I want to be a general in the army. Good Lord, I'm 40. I'm getting ready to be 49 years old. So that means at least 40 years ago, I was marching around in a Sunday school class being told, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And nobody still got it. Soldiers are not sissies. Soldiers can take it when you yell at them, when you scream at them. Because they know that your intention is to keep them from dying. If I yell at you and you don't die, it's worth it for me. I'm trying to tell you, we've got to get a military mindset in the church. And part of that is they don't stick you out in a battlefield until they, first of all, they beat you up. They kill you before they ever make you into something. Boy, I'm preaching to you and I'm not even intending to. What happens when you go in the military? They break you down. They kill you. They got to get rid of you so that all you know how to do is say, yes, sir, sir, yes, sir. Now, what did Paul teach? My life's no longer my own. I don't have a life. I'm a bond servant. Sir, yes, sir. And the Lord is raising up a church like that to where the people in the pews know how to be soldiers. say?
I'm going to another church.
They say, sir, yes, sir.
I see, sir, that you're trying to make a soldier out of me. I see, sir, that you're trying to save me and save my life. Sir, yes, sir.
Not.
The preacher didn't even look at me when he walked by today. I guess he don't like me. I'm going to take my tithe somewhere else.
Baby, the world is on the line. And it's going to take soldiers. You haven't seen anything yet. You think you dodged something because Donald Trump is president. You just got it prolonged for a few years. Hell is coming to the United States of America. And wusses will not be able to stand, baby. You better hear what I'm telling you. I don't know why I'm telling you all this stuff. This is where the Lord took me. This isn't even supposed to be part of my notes. He told me right before I got in here. Folks, hell's coming to America. Your little Sunday sermon ain't going to be enough to do when hell comes and persecution comes. Persecution is going to come to the church and sissies will fall to the ground. You mark my words. Your patty cake Jesus and your prayer life that you've got now won't work. And God actually allows persecution to come so he can get you to get on your face. Now we got a choice. We can get on our face before persecution comes so we can be functioning like soldiers when it comes, or we can wait till persecution comes and drives us to it. Anywhere persecution comes, the church grows. You know why the church ain't growing much? We got it too easy.
Yeah, what happened to teaching?
Soldiers. You got to start to think like a soldier. So if you're going to start to think like a soldier, you've got to be trained. Now watch this. Why am I teaching what I'm teaching? A little verse in the Bible we get rid of. Got a whole message on it. I'd love to teach it right now. Paul said, suffer hardship with me. Now y'all run on and sign up for that. That's what he said. He said, suffer hardship. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3 said, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. No soldier in active services entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Paul's making a reference to us not as church members, soldiers. So we've got to begin to get this mentality of a soldier. It's life or death when you're a soldier. Not so much urgency when you're a church member, but when you're a soldier. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. I'm going to go ahead and go here. We were in here praying, and the Lord just came over me so strongly. I saw people messing around with their cell phones while we were trying to pray. This is on a weekday. And it bothered me a little, but then I heard the Lord clearly tell me this scripture. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of his life. Well, you know what this little thing right here does? You're entangled. You can't even pray without looking at this. But I'm supposed to depend on you to protect my life. I'm supposed to depend on you as a soldier when you can't lay this down for praying for an hour. I mean, if the Garden of Gethsemane happened now, we'd know what the disciples that were waiting would be doing. Facebook. They'd be taking a picture that they could post. See, look at me with Jesus. Jesus is back there and see him back there praying. Folks, we got to get free from the entanglements if we're going to be a soldier. I ain't preaching on being a soldier today, but boy, I'm missing a good opportunity. Got to quit, come out from these entanglements. I think I told Sean, I said, when I pray in the afternoon, I am going to collect cell phones. Put them things up. Can't you stay in 2 hours of prayer without looking at that thing? Yeah, I know, you're making notes. No, you're not. You go to make a note, and that blue and white F just stands out to you and says, touch me, touch me, touch me. You know you want to touch me. And the next thing you know, you're distracted, and usually what happens while you're scrolling down your newsfeed, you get mad. So all the anointing to pray has done gone out the window because you were distracted, and now you're mad because some bubba posted. And you're supposed to be praying, and now you're so mad you can't even pray. I'm not preaching on Facebook. but I am preaching on being distracted when it's time to pray. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So what we got to understand is two things. Number one, Paul is speaking to us in light of being soldiers, not being members. And then he's telling us we have a war. But he's encouraging us about the fact that we're not only called to war, but we've been given something to fight with. We've been given weapons. Well, now here's where I'm going. Guess what the weapons are? These gifts. How you fight the devil? Gifts. Graces. Divine endowment. So if I don't teach you how to function and understand gifts that flow through because of the Holy Spirit, then you really don't know how to fight the devil. So I'm not teaching you these things just so you can be a good Pentecostal and know about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm trying to put a weapon in your hand so that we can raise up an army, each one functioning in some realm, to do warfare. So we've been trying to fight an enemy without actually knowing anything about our guns. It's really interesting right now. What's the number one thing going on in America? They're trying to get rid of your way to fight. Well, the devil done that in the church a long time ago. Seeker, sensitive, bless the people stuff. They don't know how to fight. The first people that would be in trouble if trouble comes to America are those within those churches that are seeker sensitive. They ain't got a hope of standing. Don't have a hope. Because they don't know how to fight. So the weapons, and I've never taught this way, but I want you to understand, the weapons are the giftings that were given. And again, when I say that, we think there's 9 gifts. No, there's about 28. There's 28, and actually, I don't believe the scripture is complete on its talking about gifts. I can prove that. I already did in the first message. Because it's listed 2 or 3 times, and in neither place is it full. Which tells me there could be some other gifts, unique things. There are unique things. People have unique gifts from God. Now, what I do believe is we can have gifts that are a combination of all those other things and unique to us. You're unique. You have a unique calling. Which means a combination of the gifts listed in Scripture flow in you in a different kind of way, specific to you. So I want to show you some things that the Scripture says. It says in Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance." You know that. We say that when Bubba backslides. We tell Bubba, you can run, but the gifts still going to operate in you. But he's talking about gifts and callings. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, he says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Then Paul says in Romans 1:1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." So we have two things. We have calling and we have gifts. A calling is a separation unto. It means to be set apart for a purpose. So calling indicates purpose. You have been called or set apart or inside of your DNA in your mother's womb has been something on the inside of you that is a calling for you. And it means to be set apart for a purpose. It's separation unto. Now we see in this scripture it says, they ministered to the Lord. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate Barnabas and Saul to the work whereunto I have called them." So the next thing we see is the Holy Ghost does the calling. It's not our choice. One of the things that causes problems in the body of Christ is you want my calling and I want yours. You don't have a choice in your calling. The Holy Ghost does the calling. So if you're not called to be what you think you ought to be, get over it. There's a calling on the inside of you. And I hear you, Lord. You know, if I were... That word calling's interesting. I could be over in a corner hiding somewhere. I tried to do this to somebody. Who did I try to do this to at a restaurant? Oh, you. I could take this microphone, and especially with it, if I had a microphone, it would have been easy. But I could take this microphone, and you never see me, and I begin to call and say, Ashley. And what I was doing at Chili's, I was going, Well, she never did hear me. Now, the guy working there, I think he was about ready to call the law because I was humped down right like this. He came over and said, I wondered what you were doing. I'm like, what is this guy doing? But do you understand? How do you know what you're on earth for? What's calling you? What is calling you? I don't want you to miss that. What keeps going? That's calling. Something. It's Holy Ghost calling. I feel the Holy Spirit on that one. Because sometimes we talk about calling, but we don't get it. What is it? He's calling. Something on the inside of you saying, do this. And you try to do something else, and it says, do this. Get another job selling insurance. Do this. Do this. Sing in the choir. Do this. No, do this. Do this. I hear you, Lord. Sometimes the enemy will get you to settle for a lesser thing. You better understand that. He'll let you do what you're really not necessarily, that's not where the greatest fruit in your life is. And sometimes many people miss stepping into that because they won't let go of the lesser thing. Sometimes when it comes to calling, you got to let go of the lesser thing to step into the other. Because if you don't let go of the lesser thing, you like it so much that you'll miss what he really wants you to do because you're having fun. You enjoy it. So sometimes we can miss the calling of the Lord when we settle for other things. So it's a separation unto. Then it says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So your calling then, your holy calling according to your purpose and grace. I could stay right there. Your calling reveals your purpose, and then it reveals the grace that's on your life. There's a grace on you for something, but there's not a grace on you for everything. And when you're functioning outside your realm of grace, you get frustrated. But we find here that calling is connected to purpose and grace. So your calling is because your calling reveals a purpose. Your calling is about a purpose, and then you have grace to function in that. What is the grace? That's your tools. God doesn't just call you to be a carpenter, he gives you the tools. In the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you gives you gifts to function in what you're called to do and to walk in your purpose. And they're not talents. It's not talent. You have a divine enablement to do the things that you are required for you to walk in your calling. And they're supernatural. And this is how we started this. This is why all these people still fanning and the air conditioner's on. I'm sorry. I see all these people going. Do you understand now where I'm coming from? So this is why we need to pray in the Spirit. Because you have a calling, you have a purpose, and the Lord has given you gifts to help you fulfill that purpose. And the way that you begin to get your tools in your hand and know how to use them is to pray in the Spirit. That's where the gifts begin to operate in you. So we have many people, if we go back to that first message about praying in the Spirit, that have never really been given their... They've been in the military for however long, and they've never even got their gun yet. Me, Tommy, Bo, Tommy, Skinny, me, Shinny, who stole my Honda one time. But you didn't get your gun. You didn't get your weapon yet. And if you stop there... I left out the ocean die. Repeat what? I left out me, Tommy, bow tie too, didn't I? Oh, did I say that? Oh, see, that's a good Pentecostal. Every Pentecostal knows me, Tommy, bow tie. How about me, skinny, me, shinny? Did I say that? Okay, yeah. Just making sure I didn't leave any out. For all of y'all who don't pray in tongues much, you can take those and use them. That's funny. That's honestly probably where those came from. I mean, you're up at the altar praying, and they're beating you in the back of the head, saying, just say, who stole my Honda? Just go on, say it. Say, who stole my Honda? If you'll just say that, sissy, something else will happen to you. Just go ahead, say me skinny, me shinny real fast. And then the next thing you know, okay, now let's be nice now. So I wanted you to understand why you need these gifts operating in your life, because that's what you're going to fight with. I mean, the enemy can just tear you up if you don't have any weaponry. If you're not functioning, particularly in these nine gifts, they'll save your hide. They've saved me on many occasions. And there's many occasions I didn't get saved because I didn't know how to shoot. Yeah. There's many times I thought my gun was on target and it wasn't. Hello, Charlotte, North Carolina. Whew, kill us, Lord. Long story there. So let's look. I want to share some things with you today in a teaching manner. I'm going to cover these nine gifts, but I'm just going to give you an overview of these nine gifts. As the Lord leads, I will probably go back to some and get into greater depth of them and show you actually how. See, one thing you have to understand, there are not only nine spiritual gifts listed here, but then there are five gifts that came because of Easter. By the way, I really wanted to go there today. I said, Lord, it fits Easter. Let me go there. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are gifts. They were given. Why? Because he first descended into the earth, and then he ascended. So your Easter present is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Happy Easter. But what we have to understand then is those five gifts typically have some degree of these nine operating in their lives fluently. I ain't got time to teach about five gifts yet. I will. But the five gifts ain't going down yet. But anyway, these nine gifts are the weaponry that a fivefold minister often uses. And certain ones of these nine gifts are their weapons of choice. If you're an evangelist, then there are certain ones of these nine that are your weapon of choice. Sometimes you can look at your weaponry and figure out what you are. But let's look. Corinthians 12:1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That's why I'm teaching. I don't want you to be ignorant. We're going to learn. Don't be ignorant about the gifts. Well, I just don't think I have one. I heard you. Don't you lie to me. Some of y'all went around, I just don't think I have no gifts. Seems like everybody else does stuff, and I just don't feel like there's no gifts operating in me. Well, liar, liar, pants on fire. Let the ignorance be gone. That's what we're doing. We're bringing teaching. 1 Peter 4:10. You believe the Bible? 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Who received the gift? And what should he do with his gift? Minister. And why can't he do it? Because he's got grace on his life in that particular area. If what you're doing sucks, it's not what you're called to. See, we've got to get this. I'm dealing with a mindset here, because we've actually been taught that it's a cross we got to bear. Ministry you're called to is a cross, and the gifts cause you to struggle. Well, you're in the wrong one. You're out of your grace. You're not operating in your grace. When you're functioning where you should, you labor, but there's no toil with it. If you find what you're called to do and do it, you will not work a day in your life. There is no toil in that. There's labor. There's no toil, though, because I enjoy every minute of it, because it's where my grace is. But if I'm trying to function in something that does not have grace upon it, I'm out of my lane, I'm out of my grace, then it's like a root canal every day. I love you, Jesus. I got news for you. It's hard to enjoy life when things suck, when you're getting your brain beat out. What could it be that you're outside your grace? That's the sign that you're not in your lane. That's real simple, but I don't want you to miss that. Because we've been taught, really, that all of God's callings are a pain. And we're going to pay a serious price for it. That's not true. When you're in your area of grace, now if that's not your grace, you can look at somebody and say, man, I don't know how in the world they put up with that. Well, they don't feel that way about it. That's proof that it's not your grace. When you look at them and say, I just don't see how they put up with that. They have the grace for it. But you're telling yourself right there that you don't. So don't sign up. Each has been given a gift, and the word gift is the word grace, the word charis, charismatic, where charismatic came from. It's a divine endowment. You didn't do anything to get it. It's a divine endowment. It's a miracle. It's a divine ability on the inside of you that comes from Holy Spirit. So you can't do anything to make it happen. Well, you can increase it by praying in the Spirit. But it's a divine enablement. And one of the best ways on this is one of the best ways to see this. And I'll probably talk a lot about prophecy and prophetic ministry throughout this, but that's what happens when you lay hands on somebody you've never seen before in your life, and you touch them, and then out your mouth comes a bunch of stuff. Well, you don't know them. You can't possibly know that. What's going on? It's a divine ability to speak to someone as if you've known them all their life and you just met them. That's a divine ability. That's what gifts are. They're divine, supernatural abilities. So each one has received a gift, a divine endowment of grace. It's not a talent. Get this. You can't get it. He deposits it in you. He makes the deposit into the bank account of your spirit. He did say, however, covet the best gifts. He said for you to start wanting a deposit. I feel you, Holy Ghost. Have you ever asked him? He said seek it. He said ask him. He said pursue it. Are you pursuing? Why don't you just ask him, hey, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the gift of, let me just tell you, fixing everybody's not on the list. There is no gift of fixing everybody. There's also no gift of rebuke. So let's just scratch those two off the list. But he told you to seek them, to covet them, which means you should do that. Do you want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? Then he says, there are different... Did I read that? No, I didn't. 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So there are different gifts. There are different administrations. There are different ministries. There's different ways to serve. The purpose of the gift is to serve. Keep that in mind. If gifts are not flowing and operating in your life, it could be because you want them to look at you. The purpose of gifting is to serve. So until you become a servant, then gifts are probably not going to flow freely in your life because it's not about you. It's about impacting the lives of someone else. It's about serving the body of Christ. So if you want gifts to flow in you at a greater measure, first start with the fact that you're supposed to be serving. It's not about you. It's about them and what the Lord wants to use you to do to affect others. Then he says there's different operations. That's different ways of accomplishing things, different strategies, different effects, different results. You can have two different people that are evangelists and they approach it a completely different way. If I say Billy Graham, you say stadiums. But somebody is on the street talking to somebody one-on-one right now. So you have to understand, though it's one Holy Spirit, there are different operations and different administrations. So some people, I believe, miss this. Hear you, Holy Spirit. Some of you got gifts operating in you now, but you've never operated in them because you've been trying to figure out how to get them in the pulpit. You're supposed to be doing it on your job. Some people in this room are struggling with their gifting because they're putting it in the wrong place, not recognizing that there are difference of operations. You might operate in it on your job. I might operate it in a pulpit. There's different operations, different ways. Y'all want me to quit, don't you? I feel it in the atmosphere. I mean, Easter, everybody just wants to go. I'll let y'all go, but don't blame me when you get shot on the battlefield. So the purpose of these gifts is to profit the body, not make you a star. The biggest error in the prophetic movement right now is people being stars. And once you get that on the inside of you, listen, I've been there. You know what they'll do to me sometimes? Come up here and prophesy. I'm telling you, this is a problem. And guess what if you don't have your heart right, guess what you're going to do? You're going to search for something, even if it is wrong. You've got to become a person that says, I have absolutely nothing. But if you're worried about being a star, you're going to fake it till you make it. And you're going to prophesy to somebody out of a place that's not pure. And now you're going to have Bubba marrying Susie when he wasn't even supposed to go nowhere near Susie. Because you need to be feel good about your gift. Oh, I got a lot of teaching to do on the prophetic. I'm meddling right there. But it's not about you. These gifts are not to make you a star. They're to profit the body of Christ. Told you, I hear them angels again. Been in here all day. Now, I need to get through these gifts with you, but I need to tell you a couple more things. Purpose and gifts are not private nor independent. Your purpose or the gifts that you operate in are not private nor are they independent. And many are trying to find their purpose independent from others because you want to be a star. But your purpose is connected to others. God did this to make us dependent on each other. You have to, if you're trying to find your purpose and your gifts independent of the local body of Christ, oh, you're going to be a rebel with a tainted gift. But he designed it so we would have to function together with each other. The gifts are neither, and purpose, are neither private nor independent. You got to have others. The gifts are meant to function together like the parts of the body. And yes, those parts too. You'll catch that later. Apply this. Now get this. Before I go into this list, I want you to get this. This revelation I'm sharing with you about being independent not only applies to individuals, but it applies to the church in the city. We were not supposed to be in this city to be independent of the other churches in this city. Because just as individuals have different giftings, different operations, different manifestations, the churches in this city do also. See, the light's going out. That's why we'll never really see awakening and revival until we begin to work with the other churches. Because they've got gifts that we don't want to embrace. Your gifts and your purpose are not independent nor private. God will begin to come to every city in America. There'll be citywide revival if we can ever cross this right here and understand it and get it to happen. Now, why do we pray for other churches every Sunday morning? Because it's a seed of this. We got to start somewhere. So if I can just start by praying for them and getting you to pray for them, now we're sowing some seeds that can begin to produce fruit. So it applies to the city also. Let me tell you another problem. And here's why we don't come together. We tend to view everything through our gift and think ours is the most important. But we must not forget that we need the others. I'm giving you a pitfall right here. If your gift in the body of Christ is a certain thing, you view everything through that mindset. That's why we have to have each other. If you're gifted to cast out devils, you're going to cast one out behind every rock. You can't go to Applebee's without thinking of the devils that's on somebody. Are you hearing me? And every church you go in, you begin to pick that church apart because they're not doing that thing, but that's your gift. You're viewing everything through that lens. Everybody's not supposed to do church like us. I still think ours is better, but don't get mad at me. But I believe that we do tend to think that. So there's no value to the church across the street because it's not prophetic, apostolic. Are you hearing me? We tend to view everything through our gift. And not individuals have gifts, but churches are a particular gift to their city. And usually the head of that ministry will reveal to you the grace that's on that house. We could park there for a little while. Because what's on the head flows down to the body. So the people begin to take on the character and the DNA of the person running that ministry. And that's why until we begin to connect all the dots together, we can't fully be effective in the city. Because if we've got an apostle running a church, everybody around him tends to have that in-your-face, smash, break-open, pioneer mindset. But the only way we get the balance is to have all five functioning, and not only are they in individuals, but they're also in churches. So we've got to begin to honor the other parts of the body in a city and quit looking down our nose at them because they have a function that we don't have. And we have to learn to appreciate that. Revelation. Here's what the Bible says. It says, you remember the scripture that says something about our uncomely parts? 1 Corinthians 12:22, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. See, what are we saying? It goes on to say, you need those parts. The ones that don't get much recognition are necessary, so there won't be any schism in the body. Now, let me move you through here real quick. I got 15 minutes. I'm taking it whether I got it or not. You ain't been to Easter service if it doesn't last at least 2 hours. Come on now. So there are 9 gifts of the Spirit listed here. They can be broken down into 3 categories. 3 times 3. So there are 9 gifts listed. 3 of these gifts are revelation gifts. They reveal something. 3 of these gifts are utterance gifts. They say something. And then 3 of these gifts are power gifts. They do something. So they can be broken down into revelation, utterance, and power. Revelation reveals something. These gifts reveal something. Utterance says something. And power gifts do something. Now I'm just going to give you an overview. I'm probably going to come back and get in depth on some of these. But so we have, what are the 3 revelation gifts? We have the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Those are supernatural abilities from the Holy Spirit to make you know something that you cannot possibly know. And again, it's not a talent. So the word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit giving you insight into something that is currently happening or has happened or has happened. I'll leave it there. It's the Holy Spirit, a supernatural ability to know something that is currently happening or has happened. Quit or go on? That's the question. Nah, I'm going to hit you with these real quick so you'll at least know what they are. I'm not going to give you any examples. Yeah, I am going to give you this example. Ron and Cherise, they think they're smart. This place looks like a dump and a wreck, and it's got black and white checkered tile on the floor. Well, Ron shows up on a Sunday morning. At that time, anybody shows up, you're like, oh my God, I don't know whether to run or be happy. So Ron sits back. Probably in that day, it would have been, God only knows where it would have been. It would have probably been flip-flop. But Ron sits down, and, you know, maybe I go over and pray over him, have a word for him. Don't even talk to him, don't know who he is, never had a conversation at all. Is it 2 weeks later? 1 week later. Separately. Incognito. Playing a trick. Cherise shows up. I'll never forget this. This is word of knowledge. Knowing the supernatural ability to know something you have no way of knowing. And it ain't because they're black either. Because we had some black folks at that time. So here's some of y'all thinking, well, it's probably a safe guess they were both black and there wasn't no black people here, so blah, blah, blah. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. That wasn't the case. But Cherise comes in, and I start to step towards Cherise, and I hear just as plain as day. I'll never forget it. I always say it exactly like I heard it. I said out my mouth, she's his wife. Never met either one of them. But I heard clearly, she's his wife. Well, the rest of this story's history. But that's a word of knowledge. The supernatural ability for the Holy Spirit to give you information and insight into something that's currently happening or happened. Next, you got the word of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge properly. Knowledge is what's going on. Now, I'm talking to you about tools. I'm talking to you about weapons. You need this one. Knowledge is what's going on. Wisdom is what to do about what's going on. So the word of wisdom is a supernatural ability to know what to do in a particular situation or circumstance. Didn't come from your head. Do this and everything will be all right. It's a gifting to know how to navigate situations. Anybody had that happen in your life? The Lord told you exactly what to do and you did it and it worked? I believe these gifts, they're going to increase in the body of Christ. They're going to have to. We need to pay our taxes. What did Jesus say? Go fishing. Fish right in this spot and throw your line right here. The money's in the fish's mouth. What is that? Word of wisdom. Then we've got, I'm just going to go through the list real quickly. We've got the discerning of spirits. We got this one all wrong right here. Discerning of spirits, the better word is distinguishing of spirits. It's the supernatural. Boy, we need this one. Because as you grow, people are going to come in, they're going to dance and shout and sing. They're going to pay money too. They're going to come in and write a big check. And you're going to think, if you don't have this operating in the house, you're going to think, man, these people rock. And they're witches. And they're devils. So the gift of discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability to know what the source of a particular behavior is. See, we're stuck on the behavior. Well, it looks right. Well, they act like a Christian. Well, they're dancing like we do. They must be okay. So, but it's the supernatural ability to know what the source of a particular behavior is. Ability to know what spirit someone is operating under or what spirit is controlling them. And it is supernatural because in the natural they might look like everything's A-okay. Tell you that story. There was a lady who came in here not too long ago. Well, it's been a while back. A couple years ago. Come in here, boy, that woman could sing like an angel. I mean, she was. I mean, it was just like, wow, what a voice. A witch. I walked up to her and looked at her and went, shh. Shh. Now, if you don't have that gift functioning in your life, you think, my God, that woman can sing less. And 90% of churches would have had her on the worship team next week, and Jezebel and the witch would have destroyed their church because she sounds good. It's a supernatural ability to know the spirit that somebody is operating in. This lady loved me so much after that. Do you think she came back next week? No. See, that's the point. That's why we have to have this gift functioning. Then we've got utterance gift, tongues. This gift of tongues is not your prayer language. I hear people say this up all the time. This is a supernatural ability to speak in a language that you don't know. You've never taken Spanish or whatever, Russian, you name it, but you open your mouth and you can speak it so that someone can hear their language. And there's all kinds of stories about people giving messages in tongues and somebody walking up to them and say, you spoke fluently in my language. So this is a supernatural ability to speak in a language that you've never learned. And then you got prophecy. Prophecy is the supernatural ability to receive and communicate an immediate word of edification, exhortation, and comfort to another. It's a divine download. Then you got interpretation of tongues. It's the ability to make know or make known the meaning of a message given in a language that one does not know or has not learned. So, and then we have power and demonstration gifts. We have the gift of faith, healing, and miracles. Where we sometimes get messed up here is, you say, I have faith. Well, that's not what this is talking about. It's the gift of special faith. A supernatural ability to believe God for something in the moment. Can't explain it. You just have faith that they're going to walk. And it's a supernatural divine endowment of grace. Gift of special faith. The supernatural ability to believe God in such a way that things which cannot be accomplished by natural means, for things that cannot be accomplished by natural means or human ability. So God using you to do the impossible. Same thing with healing. It's a supernatural ability to cure an illness and restore health apart from any kind of natural means. So these things are gifts operating, they're endowments, they're divine endowments. And I hope you see why we want these. Well, that's our weaponry. Particularly the revelation gifts. That's our best weaponry against the enemy, are these gifts of revelation.